Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Up Hollywood, this is your host with the most, Nikki Kalula. We're gonna jump right into this interview with Miss Catherine Ava. Say hello, aka Bugsy the Boss Woman.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Oh, our studio audience loves you already.
Oh, hello, everybody.
So first, let's just talk about the name. I love the name. Tell me the story behind the name.
There is such a story behind the name. Well, so I wrote the Bugsy songs mostly with my boys, Evan Blum and Rocky Sands. And when we wrote them, I didn't even have the name yet. We'd written Fuck Boy and A Little Bit of Bad Habit. And then we were at this bar called Rockin' Riley's across the street from Rocky's place, you know, downtown. Yeah. And I ordered a gin and tonic and apparently said it in some type of way. Like, and Rocky was like, why did you just say that like Bugsy Siegel? And I was like, who the fuck is Bugsy Siegel? And he was like, he's a gangster from the 40s. Like, you just sounded like
that. He started Vegas.
Yeah. He did?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's the reason Vegas exists.
Oh, my God. I've totally heard that.
Yeah.
I need to do more research on it.
You got to watch the movie Bugsy. Warren Beatty's in it.
That's about Bugsy Siegel, right? Yeah. I've been dying to watch that movie.
Watch that movie. Yes. Now you got it. Now you got it.
I have to. He's me. I am him. I have to.
So you know the Flamingo Hotel in Vegas?
No.
So the Flamingo Hotel in Vegas is what Bugsy Siegel opened.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was the very first hotel in Vegas.
Whoa.
And then it just turned into Vegas, and it was run by mobsters.
Yeah.
He got shot by mobsters because he owed them a lot of money because it tanked in the beginning.
Of course.
So the original location of the Flamingo is actually away from the Strip, but the Flamingo Hotel is the original Vegas
hotel.
So
it's still there.
Yeah.
What he still started. There. Even
what he started. I mean, the whole city is there because of him.
Wow.
See what you're doing? Start it. You're like trailblazing over here.
Yep. All right.
Yeah.
That makes me feel good.
We ain't monkeying around over here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
So your buddy Rocky said, how can we say this like Bugsy Siegel?
Yeah.
Like, who the hell's Bugsy Siegel?
Yes. And then all of a sudden, he was just like, that should be your name. That should be the name for this project. Because it was so different from any of the other songs I'd ever done.
Right.
So it was like, and I mean, I've always had a hip-hop influence. I've always had R&B. But like, I've never like just straight rapped like all the way through the songs.
When you say hip-hop influences, tell me a few.
My main hip-hop influences are Eminem, Missy Elliott.
Oh, yeah.
Great. I fucking, like, Eminem's honestly my favorite.
Have you seen him live?
No. I did see him live at the iHeartRadio Music Awards.
Okay.
Like last year.
So you know he's awesome.
Oh, he's awesome.
So my guest last week was playing strings for him at Coachella last year.
Whoa.
And I've been waiting a long time to see him. So I saw him last year.
Oh my God.
For the first time. And it was mind blowing. You have to see him do a whole concert because if he's your favorite, he's one of the best rappers I've ever seen.
He's my favorite. He's fucking top notch.
All right. You said Missy Elliott. Who else?
Missy Elliott, Eminem. I love Jay-Z, to be honest. I love Jay-Z. Who else? I mean, honestly, it starts to get into R&B singers after that. Like Miguel, Chris Brown, Rihanna. Like, I love the way she raps. I mean, Snoop Dogg.
Well, let me ask you. So I was just about to ask you, is he the oldest rapper you listen to, Snoop Dogg?
Snoop, is he the oldest?
Yeah, what about like Dre, Chuck D?
I mean, yeah, I love like Mac Dre.
But you know Pharoah Monch?
I love Pharoah Monch.
High five.
Yes. Oh my God.
He's one of my favorite rappers. And a lot of people don't know him.
I know.
Like, you're crazy. He's like the greatest.
Well, the only reason I know him is because there was a song he did that got in Charlie's Angels. And it was that one. It's like, Simon Says.
That's right. That's right.
Simon Says, shut the fuck up. I love that fucking song.
You're like, who is this guy? I didn't even know him.
I was like, this is legit.
So what do you think about hip hop right now?
I mean, I think there's a lot of good stuff out there. I think there's a lot of creative stuff going on. I mean, to be honest, like, the beats I'm getting a little bored with here and there. Like, it's
a little soft.
They're a little soft, and like, I mean, here and there one will come on and it'll just be amazing, but like, I feel like there's this like trap pattern that's just very like kind of boring.
It's so boring to
me. It's really boring.
And you know what? Like, I have a lot of like supervisors always ask me to make like drill rap beats. That's the latest thing I'm working on right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, I did my research and listened to it, and I'm like, dude, these snares are terrible. This sounds like really bad drumming. Mm-hmm. It just sounds like a really bad beat making.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put like a dreary kind of like sound on it, and then somebody's spitting mumbles on it. And it's like, what? This is all bad.
I know. And we're still in that triplet phase. I'm like, come on.
Yeah. Well, see, you know music too. Most people don't know the intricacies that you're speaking of. I grew up on like Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, N.W.A., Ice Cube. Like, those were my hip hop records. So like when I hear hip hop today, I'm like, whoa, this is not cool. This is not good.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that you're doing stuff that's a little bit edgier, that's a little bit more in your face. It's a little bit more groove oriented, and it's super musical.
Thank you.
I want to talk to you about this music video that you just did, because I was so amazed that you did something that I've never seen before, to be honest. And like, for a new artist to do something that an old fogey like me hasn't seen before, no, it's the truth. It's like, it's pretty awesome, because, you know, you get to a point where you're like, yeah, I kind of seen and heard a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was watching your video, you did this VR thing where it was like a 360 degree screen that you could look at anything while it was playing, no matter if it was the focus or like the who was singing or who was dancing. Or so tell me about this concept that you came up with.
Yeah, well, honestly, I have Nir Netzer to thank for this entire video, because it was a super random meeting on this one too, because I met him like 2 years ago at a party, and he mentioned that he was in VR, and I mentioned that I was in music, and I gave him the link to Fuckboy because it was just on YouTube. And he said he'd listen later. And when I was talking to him, I remember thinking, like, because everyone I meet, I'm like, would I work with them? Like, could we work together? You know, like, every person. And then when he said VR, I was like, oh, that probably wouldn't. He's probably doing, like, some video game thing or some shit.
Right.
And he, like, listened to the song the next day and, like, contacted me and was like, I would love to do a video for this in VR. And so all of a sudden, like, it just got rolling. It took a 4 or 5 months to even plan.
So
like,
how long was the shooting process?
The shoot was a 2-day shoot, and the first one that was in the warehouse with all the ladies,
right,
that was all day. That was an all-day shoot. And then the green screen shoot was like a little more chill. It was pretty much all day, but it was a little more relaxed.
So how many times did you have to shoot each? Because there's, you know, in that warehouse scene, there's like maybe like 3 or 4, maybe more,
right,
little spots where you all are,
yeah,
and you're all kind of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did you figure out? How did you plan that? That's just crazy.
Yeah, we did a lot of planning ahead of time. Like, all right, for the first shot, like, camera's going to be in the middle, and all the ladies are going to be circled around. We're going to have tools, and, like, they're going to do the dance with the chorus and then do whatever else they want, just kind of improv. And that was actually the one cool thing about VR is you don't have to get, like, a million takes of each thing. Since there's like, you just don't have to do as much editing. So we essentially got like 3 or 4 takes of each section,
and that was it. And did you have to choose like one of each group, or did you just do like layers of it? Like, I don't even know how it works.
Just one of each group.
Okay.
Yeah, because it looks a little like, if you're in a VR world, you kind of have to sit in the world, you know?
Right.
It doesn't really, it's not like one take to another take to another take. Because that all, like, the point is to be sitting in a different reality.
Right.
So you get to kind of like spread out and take your time with sections.
Well, the cool thing too is, like, you know, I've done like some VR mazes where you have the goggles and you're like in the world and you're immersed.
Yeah.
But like, the cool thing about what you guys did too is you made it so it was like you were able to experience it without the goggles. but it would be better if it was with the goggles. So, like, you know, like, I checked it out on both levels just because I was like, this is kind of fascinating that it works in both mediums. Just straight up, like, I would just, you know, go to a certain point in the video and just, like, move my finger around and just, like, what's happening here? Oh, what's happening over here? And it was so interesting. There was so much stuff going on.
Yeah.
But then when you immerse yourself in the world, you're, like, surrounded by the video. You're
so
like,
you watched it in the goggles?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, dope.
I'm, like, way into VR. I've been...
Really?
Yeah, I've been way hip into VR for years. And it's just, like, starting to, like, make its boom.
Yeah.
And every time... Have you done, like, any of the VR mazes?
I did. No, I haven't done a maze. I did like a roller coaster ride and like Mir showed me a couple others, but I need to check out the maze.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll love it. So like the very fact that you're doing a music video in that medium, it's super groundbreaking. I was very impressed. I was like,
this
is awesome. So
thank you.
You did the green screen stuff and you said that was more relaxed. How is that different from the first day?
It was after the first day. So like, just coordinating all the people and like getting the studio, like the warehouse studio, was just such a feat. Like it took days and days of like going back and forth and like negotiating the price down. And then like it wasn't even a guarantee because they're like, he was like, you know, a bigger studio could just like come in with $10,000.
Don't you hate that? You're like, yo, I'm trying to do something where we cultivate a relationship on some level.
I know. Like, you know, I'm coordinating like 30 people here.
Right,
like,
right.
So I was like, days before the shoot, I was like, are we gonna have to just go and gorilla shoot in Venice? Like, is this could just totally fall through. And so the stress of that being over and like having such a magical day with all the ladies, like, that was really the big feat. And then the green screen was just me and two other ladies, Lauren and Danielle. And so we only had to shoot three people. It was at like his house in Venice that he was living at the time with his collective. So it was just much more chilled
like, this
out.
This is my style. Yeah. I remember I did a music video on the Santa Monica Pier and I just felt like anxious the whole time. It was like, and I was like trying to enjoy it and I did enjoy it, but it was like, you know, when it's your thing and it's like you're coordinating all these things and you have to create a vibe and an energy that you're like, oh my God, how am I, you have to like separate the brain. You have to cut it in half and be like, okay, I need to think about the business and the organization. And then I also have to make sure the performance is on some level entertaining. You know what I mean? Because that's what you're making.
I know.
So you did a killer job.
Thank you.
It's really awesome.
Tell me
about the vision of the song and the identity of Bugsy, the boss woman.
Yeah. Well, Fuckboy is just really about like a woman claiming her power over like experiences of guys just wanting to hook up.
Right.
It's very like, and for me, it had a personal connection to a guy I met in the business, and he, like, clearly was just trying to hook up after a while, but, like, didn't really reveal that at first, and I was just like, what the fuck? Like, you're, like, telling me you want to work, like, every time, like, we try to schedule something, you cancel it, but then you're, like, flirting with me, you know, and so it was funny, actually, the way that title came about, because I was talking to my cousin Megan in North Carolina, and she was, like, I was telling her about him. And she was like, honestly, he sounds like a fuckboy to me. And I was like,
had you heard that term before?
I'd heard it a little bit, but not much.
Right, right.
And so I was like, ooh, I like that. That just perfectly sums this up. So, yeah. And like a lot of girls and women that I've talked to have been like, I know who you're talking about. You know, like they all have like a certain personal experience. Like it's definitely not like a bash on all guys at all. It's just like certain ones like that very like to trick girls and be like, no, I love you, baby, but suck my dick, you know.
Well, the funny thing too, it's like it's empowering too with everything that's going on, but it also is you do something that's kind of funny, which I think it's hilarious because it's like now the shoe's on the other foot where you kind of like, you know, objectify men a little bit, like, yo, I'm gonna put you in your place. And it's kind of funny. It's like, wow, this is kind of what guys deserve. Like, we deserve to get more songs like this because that's how we are as a breed of people, you know, in general. It's like, you know?
I mean, there's so many good guys out there. And, like, the cool thing I like about it, at least with Fuckboy, like, Boss Woman is, like, not as funny throughout. Like, I do have some songs that are just, like, a little more serious. But all the songs have humor in them. And it's supposed to be like, listen, this is over the top. This is like intentionally offensive, but it's obvious. It's not to like a whole like species of people. Like it's just a certain people that have done some fucked up shit, you right. know? And the humor kind of like makes it go down easier and gets the point across without like everyone being so personally offended.
Well, let's
know?
Play the song, shall we?
Yeah.
All right, this is Fuckboy by Bugsy the Boss Woman.
Something that I gotta say to you. Something that I gotta say. This ain't the kind of thing I usually do. Thing that I usually do. See, I've been holding back my tongue. Waiting for the chance to come. Oh, oh. To say all of the things I feel for you.
Just a bougie little fuck boy. You got some dirty gasoline in your truck, boy. Pull your pants up. Ain't nobody wanna see that shit. Put your hands up, bitch. Quit playing with your dick.
Let me break it down a little bit. Okay, a lot of it. I got a lot of stuff I wanna say. I wanna spit now. First of all, you ain't never gonna hit this. Back it up, boy. You on my shit list. Talk a lot of game that you can't back up. I'm looking at you and it don't add up. You act like you're rich. I know better. Pull it to the club. Grandma, shut up. Grandma, shut up. Grandma, shut up. Literally anybody else in the world could make me wetter. Hey,
you just a bougie little fuck boy. You got some dirty gasoline in your truck, boy. Pull your pants up. Ain't nobody wanna see that shit. Put your hands up, bitch. Quit playing with your dick.
Watching you trying to get pussy on the dance floor. Cheap cologne, prepaid phone. Fucking definition of a man whore. Please take this personally. If you say another goddamn word to me, I'll slap your ass so hard I'll turn that bitch ass face to burgundy. To burgundy. I'll turn that face to burgundy. Boy, take your daddy's debit card straight back to your fraternity.
Hey, you just a bougie little fuck boy. You got some dirty gasoline in your truck, boy. Pull your pants up. Ain't nobody wanna see that shit. Put your hands up, bitch. Quit playing.
Playing. Playing with your body, tattoos, stupid tattoos. You just won't get it, do you? Shades in front of your eyes, I can see right through you. Shades in front of your eyes, I can see right through you. See right through you.
See right through you.
You just a bougie little fuck boy. You got some dirty gasoline in your truck, boy. Pull your pants up. Ain't nobody wanna see that shit. Put your hands up, bitch. Quit playing with your dick. Hey, you just a bougie little fuck boy. You got some dirty gasoline in your truck, boy. Pull your pants up. Ain't nobody wanna see that shit. Put your hands up, bitch. Quit playing with your dick.
Expecting that. Whoa.
I wasn't either. Which version did I give you?
I like it. I like it. Whatever it is, it worked. That was like a little bit of a, like a little remix. I like
it was
it.
A little instrumental at
you
the
had a
end.
A little tag.
You're I like, think that.
You're like, we're done. No, we're not. We're back.
We're back, bitches. I think that's the one from the video, actually.
Oh, well, that's what I have on here. I have Bad Habit, Bugsy.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Fuckboy and Bad Habit.
Well, I have two fuckboys on here, so.
Oh, you do?
You won't hear me say that very often. So maybe maybe one's a YouTube video. So it's all right. It's all right. Let me ask you this, too, because most people don't know this about you, and I do. Mm. You're like a very accomplished songwriter. You play piano. You sing. How do you separate that part of you to do this side of you?
Yeah. God, that's a tough question. I mean, it's a constant balancing act because, like, I love all the other styles that I do, and I'm not going to always just do rap. Like, I just know that. And I already honestly have my next EP in the can, and it's, like, no rap. It's all singing. And so I don't know how that's going to be.
Do you have a preference?
You know, I want to say no. I love them both, but I do think ultimately, like, singing is at the top.
That's
for
a good
me.
Answer. That was a test, and you passed. No, because like you're great at rapping, but you're also really great at singing, and there's something different when you sing. It's like I feel like singing is it becomes a character in a different way. Like
Thank you.
Has a character that's more like speaking and poetry, but singing has this thing where it's like you're the instrument.
Mm-hmm.
You are like channeling something.
Yeah.
Higher than whatever we are, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like when you get to that, you know, that inner soul and you're just like digging in and you sing, there's something I feel like people tap into that's different.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Now, when
no,
you write,
true.
Are you writing piano first, vocals first, target, like you got struck with the term fuckboy,
mm-hmm.
so that made you want to write about that.
Yeah.
You know, because like there's certain titles that sometimes will hit you.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite way to write?
I mean, oftentimes it'll just come the rhythm, the lyric, and the melody of the hook at least.
So you write the hook first?
Yeah. Hmm. Usually always write the hook first. Sometimes I'll write the verses first, but like usually it's the hook. And usually like it is a phrase. Usually it'll start with a phrase. Like when I did fuckboy, it literally just came out of my mouth. Hey, you just an Alabama fuckboy. It was Alabama at the time because it was about a guy from Atlanta, but I needed four syllables.
Okay.
So
then we can change geography.
Yeah.
No problem.
But we were like, we should make it universal to all the fuckboys. So. But that just came out, and then I like took it from there. But yeah, usually, and then, I mean, I've written a lot of songs that have started with chords and piano, you know? But usually it's the hook, and then I write everything else around it.
What's funny, too, it's like, you know, you have a real dichotomy with you as an artist, because when I hear you sing your songs, they're like super sweet, they're like romantic, or they're like passionate about being hurt, or like, you know, they're like real good songwriting songs.
Thank you.
And then when I hear this, it's like you put that edge into writing, but it's like all edge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, I'm going to just smack you on the face with some lyrics, you know? And it's like, you do that. And then the production adds to it as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when you were collaborating with Evan and Rocky, did they kind of like give you verses or ideas, or like, okay, we should take it from this perspective, or were they just adding more production?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, Evan and I like really co-wrote these lyrics, and like the first line of "Let me break it down a little bit, okay, a lot of bit," like he already had that from like
cool.
3 years before.
Wow.
And then we like, I think he also had that "Got a lot of stuff I want to say, I want to spit," and then we kind of took it from there. But like Evan is like huge in these songs.
Right.
He's all over these songs. And then Rocky helped a lot with the verses as well. The whole second verse of Bad Habit I wrote with Rocky, and we came up with like the Grandma's Jetta line together. It was like Mama's Jetta, then he was like, what about Grandma's Jetta? We're like, yes. So they really helped a lot. But yeah, Evan is like a fantastic rapper and lyricist, and he's and honestly responsible for most of the humor in the songs, which is why I think it works as a product, because it's got my rage that's legitimate and his humor that makes it actually able
to
digest.
Well, it's like you soften the blow with just like a little bit of sugar, but a lot of vinegar too.
Yeah.
You know? But that's what makes it cool. I mean, it's like, it's, I think a lot of it too, it's like being accessible, you know, like you find with hip hop or anything, I find like anything kind of groundbreaking, it's like there has to be this sense of accessibility that people just gravitate towards.
Yeah.
Whether it's like a term or a groove or a sound or a vibe or lyrics or a hook, you know. So you guys kind of do that with all of this. When you come out with a song like this, how do you follow it up?
With more songs like this.
The rage still comes out.
Still angry bitches, though. Yeah, I mean, I have a few other songs that are going to go on the EP that no one's heard that are also very female empowerment. But I was thinking, how do I follow it up after that? And honestly, where I'm at right now, it's follow it up with something totally different. Like, my next EP is really soft. There's no anger in it at all. It's actually, it's more sensual, it's more sexual, it's more R&B, like more focused on the vocals, and it's like, it's just a different side.
Mm.
And I want to make that point to people that like, this isn't the only thing I do, and this isn't the only emotion that I have, and here's the whole other side.
That is the true test of an artist. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, when somebody asked me, they're like, well, what do you think about when you make records? I'm like, I want to surprise people with mm-hmm. everything I do. It's like, it doesn't matter if it's a song or an album or a video. Like, it has to be completely different. It just has to.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, if you feel like you're surprised when you're creating it, mm-hmm. then other people are going to feel that when they receive it. You know what I mean? But there's this, like, fine line where it's like, you can go, there are so many artists that go way overboard, and people are like, whoa, bring it back, bring it back. I don't understand what you're doing. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like this, it's this fine line. Mm-hmm. When you perform these songs, are you just rapping? Are you playing? Are you singing?
I'm rapping and singing and dancing, actually.
To tracks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't wait to do tracks and live instruments. And, like, I've done a couple acoustic shows with my boy Jonah. What up? but it's mainly just the tracks for now.
When I see bands performing with both,
mm-hmm.
it gives me, like, this tiny bit of anxiety. I'm like, you know, one computer glitch wrong is going to throw that whole operation off.
And, I know.
You know, it's like, but then you see it work. Somehow it just works. Sometimes.
I mean, when I saw, like, whenever I see any Beyonce live show, I'm just like, fuck, that's amazing.
Right.
She's doing both. But, like, did you see her Homecoming special on
I haven't
Netflix?
Seen it, but I was at Coachella when she did a lot of the performance.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. And it's just, like, you're right. Like, any little misstep and, like, the whole thing's thrown off. I'm like, they must rehearse that shit a million times.
And the other thing, too, it's, like, I saw this artist named, do you know Lizzo?
Yeah.
So I just saw Lizzo blew my mind at Coachella.
Really?
Blew my mind.
Ah.
And her performance... her track was the wrong track. Like, some manager or somebody sent the wrong track. So in the middle of her last song, which was her biggest song, she was like, she just called out the sound crew, and she did the most, like, humorous and funny thing. She just, like, stopped the track and just started rapping acapella. And I was just like, you're so badass. Like, you know what I mean? Because, like, first of all, you're on this platform mm-hmm. of... just like, okay, I finally arrived on some level. I'm playing this major music festival.
Yeah.
And then when they mess it up, it's like,
mm.
so it's like when I was that's watching that, I was like,
nightmare.
Yeah, that's why I can't do tracks. That right there would just, I'd lose it. I would lose it.
And people understand, you know, especially if you're just real and honest about it, but it's still like, just fucked me up inside.
Right.
Like,
right.
I just, like, internally deal with this super fast. Like, decide what I'm going to do in a second. But, yeah.
And you're performing in a couple weeks. Where are
you
performing?
I'm performing at Adults Only on May 23rd.
Where's that?
It's right by Hollywood. I think it's either in Hollywood or, like, a little bit outside of it. And it's, like, a speakeasy. It's, like, inside this, like, shitty strip mall, like, close to a Starbucks. But it's really dope. You go in, and it's, like, the theme is, like, it's like the porn section of a Hollywood video or like a blockbuster video. So you walk in, there's like a ton of naked chicks. And then you go.
That's awesome.
And it's the bar. Yeah.
How did you choose that spot?
I just hit up my girl Yael and was like, I need to do another show. And like, I wanted to book other like certain places that I just wasn't getting in. And she was like, well, we got this spot. Adults Only. You can come.
You're like, I'm there. Like, I'm doing it.
Like, yep, book me.
You
book
know
me
what?
Now.
What's crazy? Like, I find a lot of music venues, like some of my favorite music venues have closed. That I've been performing at for years.
Which
and it's
ones?
Like, so the House of Blues, we used to play there all the time.
I know, I got to play there right before they shut down.
And it's like, it's gone. It's
I
like,
know.
It's just obliterated. And I then, this is probably before your time, but Temple Bar, you know the Temple Bar in Santa
mm-hmm.
Monica?
No.
Santa Monica had this amazing kind of like world vibe bar
mm-hmm.
that had hip hop, funk, soul, reggae,
yeah.
everything that was like good music attached to it.
Yeah.
And like you'd see like Prince or you'd see like, you know, these huge people in these small venues.
Mm-hmm.
And it maybe held like 300 people, 400 people the
wow.
most. So that venue's gone too.
Damn.
And it's like, I hear about other venues, but no, there's no real venue that's like bringing people together.
Yeah.
You as a new artist, when you're looking at venues, are you aware of like how many venues are closing down or like finding where you can find your people? You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
because in LA it's like if you play in Silver Lake or if you play in Hollywood or if you play in, you know, Santa Monica or if you play in
right.
You know, West LA, those yeah. are four different audiences.
Totally,
you know?
it's true. I mean, I really want to play the Echo, even though apparently that's like, I mean, I played it, I like was featured by my friend Lucy, so I at least got to get up on stage there. It's fucking awesome. But I really want to do my own show there, but everyone's saying it's better for like rock and roll and like hip hop. So like, I don't even know. But mainly the one, what I've been basing it off of is big stages, ones with big stages, because I wanted to have more dancers.
How many dancers do you have?
Well, I did, when I did the study, that was my first show as Bugsy. And then the second one was at Peppermint Club, and I had two backup dancers. And then I've done some shows other places with a couple of the backup dancers, but this next one, I'm not going to be able to fit them. And so I'm looking at ones where I could have four backup dancers.
Wow.
I want to add two more.
So do you do the choreography too?
Yeah, I do a lot of it. On the last one, my friend Erica Lee really helped out with the choreography and like took the lead. There were a couple ones that I did primarily, but she was like a lifesaver. She came in. She was one of the dancers. It was Erica Lee and Holly Day, and they just fucking killed it at Peppermint. And I was going to have them at this last one, but instead on this one, I'm going to have my friend Brandon, who dresses up in mixed trans, and his trans name is Lloyd, and he's a fucking diva, and like when he's in drag, he's just like steals, like he's honestly gonna upstage me, and I'm chill with it. And then I'm gonna have my friend Coral, who was also, they were both in the fuckboy video. So okay. You know Lloyd.
Okay.
You've seen him. He was the guy with the
blonde
short wig.
Yeah.
And then Coral is gonna, she's a go-go dancer. And she's also like gotten her PhD in psychology just recently.
Wow,
too.
That's amazing.
She's fucking dope.
Total dichotomy.
I know, right? But she's just like very open about her sexuality and like very empowered. So she's going to be dancing too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm going to have pussy balloons at the show. Like vagina balloons. I'm so excited. They're not going to look like actual vaginas, which I was looking forward to, but I just can't find them. But they're going to have pussy on them.
And what was the reason for that?
Well, when I thought I wasn't going to be able to have my backup dancers, like doing the choreography, because that's such a cool part of the show, I was like, I need to brainstorm on other ways to make this entertaining and like new so that people don't feel like they're coming back to the same show. And so after I got the dancers that are going to be doing just their own thing, I was like, okay, I could have balloons with pussies on them. And then
you're thinking production value. I like
it. Yeah. And then I'm also going to have some posters of like empowered women through the decades, you know, maybe get Ruth Bader Ginsburg up
nice.
There, Aretha Franklin.
Just don't put her on the balloon.
You're right. Keep that separate.
I'm going to play this next song. This is Bugsy, right?
Bad Habits.
Bad Habits. I'm sorry. See, I almost played the wrong song. See, it's labeled weird here. I don't know why. Mm. All right, here's Bad Habit by Bugsy the Boss Woman.
Boy, are you women? Where did you go? I'm standing in front of you. It's like you don't know. Boy, pay attention. I'ma leave if you don't. If you wanna keep me close. Cause I have desire, ready to blow. I am the fire, losing control. Let me tell you something about me that you gotta know. If you can't appreciate me, I'm just gonna leave you, baby. Got plenty other boys just waiting. You think you're the only toy I'm playing? I'll drop you like a bad habit. You won't even know what happened, man. I ain't playing that small boy shit. You ain't fucking with me? You can suck your own dick. Suck your own dick. Baby, you can suck your own dick. You ain't fucking with me? You can suck your own dick, bitch.
4 in the morning. Unquenchable thirst. So you better give me the heat I deserve. Cause I got a long list. I'm checking it twice. Of all of the boys I could hit up tonight. See, I got them lined up. I stack them like cards. One click on my thumbs and they'll be on my arm. If you want a piece of my heart, better keep me hard. If you can't appreciate me, gonna leave you, baby. Got plenty other boys just waiting. You think you're the only toy I'm playing? I'll drop you like a bad habit.
You won't even know what happened, man.
I ain't playing that small boy shit. You ain't fucking with me? You can suck your own dick. Suck your own dick. Baby, you can suck your own dick. You ain't fucking with me? You can suck your own dick, bitch.
See, I'm a sexual woman. I know just so what I think you're the only toy I'm playing. I'll drop you like a bad habit.
You won't even know what happened.
I ain't playing that small boy shit. You ain't fucking with me, you can suck your own dick. If you can't appreciate me, I'm just gonna leave you, baby. Got plenty other boys just awaiting. You think you're the only toy I'm playing? I'll drop you like a bad habit.
You won't even know what happened, man.
I ain't playing that small boy shit. You ain't fucking with me, you can suck your own dick.
I'm like, wait, is there another part? Is there another tag? Is there another tag? Are we good?
What I realized is I sent you the fuckboy music video and the track, so you must have done the music video because that intro.
Yeah, that's all right. I liked it. Mm-hmm. We're mixing it up
We're mixing it up.
We don't want to be predictable.
No.
That's boring.
Life is about surprises, and we're riding that wave.
See? Oh, our audience doesn't like that. Oh, yes, they do. There you go.
Ooh, love that one.
So tell me about this. Like, for your next EP, mm-hmm. are you going to do anything crazy video wise, or is it going to be more just about you singing songs that you want to hit people with?
Man, I mean, videos are tough. Like, I've gotten to the point, like, Nir did this video for me at, like, we co-produced it as a passion project, but, like, that video is worth a ton of money. Like, and I just, the thing about videos for me is I feel like you either have to, like, go balls to the wall and, like, put a ton of money into production and have it look like a high production thing that costed money, or just do fucking grassroots shit, pay nothing, and have it look raw and underground.
Yeah, it's like guerrilla style.
Yeah,
because
when you hit that in-between point, you just look like you tried and failed at a high production thing, and, like, I want to do it high production, but I just do not have the money. And I think,
yeah, it's like $100,000 to do something right.
Right. It's like, no one has that. And, like, honestly, for the next few videos that I do, they're going to be raw and underground, you know, because, like, the first few that I did, like, years ago, I was like, okay, we need to put everything into this. And, like, I'm glad that I did that. But at this point, it's like, it's about the art, so I'm just going to do something creative that shows the art, but doesn't have to be more than that, you know?
Love it.
It's really, I mean, honestly, like, I'm going to show more dancing on the next ones.
Well, I like that you're showing that other aspect, like, you showed that you can play and sing mm-hmm. some of your earlier releases.
Yeah.
Now you're showing that you can rap and dance.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're showing, like, what's next? Like, mm-hmm. what else can you do? And you're kind of like, I have a feeling you're going to start directing your own videos and mm-hmm. just getting on that side of things, because you just have that fire as an artist, which is awesome. Like, don't lose that.
Thank you.
Don't let anybody put that out.
I mean, I'm very particular. I'm very anal, very specific, and all my ideas are very specifically hashed out. So, like, probably everything I do, I'll always have co-direction and production on it. Because
you kind of have to. Like, otherwise, you know, there's the other side of it where people just kind of, like, you know, create what they want for you. Mm-hmm. And that's not as invigorating for me. It's like, I want to be part of the process. I want to learn to be a better artist.
Yeah.
And I think you're doing that.
Yeah.
One more time, where can people find you if they want to find you online?
Yes. On Instagram, I am Bugsy the Boss Woman, BUGSY, Bugsy the Boss Woman. Same on Facebook, same on everything else.
So all your handles are now Bugsy the Boss Woman.
It's all Bugsy.
Love it.
Yes.
And you're playing Adults Only when?
May 23rd, 10 p.m.
All right.
Yeah.
You got to come back and show us more music, more videos.
I will. I can't wait.
You are awesome. So one more time, Adults Only, May 23rd, 10 p.m.
10 p.m.
How long are you playing?
Half hour, a little longer.
And Bugsy the Boss Woman,
yes.
All your Instagram handles, social media.
Yes.
Check her out. Go see her play. Go check out her videos. Go dance to her music and learn the choreography.
Yes.
All right. We'll see you guys here next week.
Thanks, Nikki.